Okay, guys. Whoa. All right, we've got the speaker on. Is that better? Yeah, it's not quite as high. All right. Well, so we're going to continue in our talk through Kingdom Mission this morning. I am not 100% sure that we're going to get through to as much of the discussion that I want to get through, and that's probably like every week. I'm just like that. So, yeah, I'm a talker. Let's pray, and then we'll jump in. Father, this morning we come to you just needing your help to reorient our heads and our minds, our thoughts from the busyness of life, the busyness of setting up a church, the busyness of being parents and being just busy people. God, we need your help to focus our hearts and our minds on your word and on truth, and we need you to help us to move that past just a discussion or a topic that we're thinking about and beyond something that we just affirm and into something that actually affects our hearts and our lives and the way we live. So God, I pray that you would do that this morning, that you would stir up in our hearts and in our talk and in our desires, that we would do the things that you called us to do, and that you would help us just have even wisdom and discernment on what that looks like in our world. We pray that you would do this for your glory, and we ask that you would do it for our good. Amen. Okay, Kingdom Mission Session 2. Last time, talked some about just how what we believe, you know, obviously affects how we live. Kind of that our actions prove out that what we say, whether or not that's actually what we believe, that's a hard thing for all of us. And certainly there's a sense in which we affirm things and we really do believe things, but God is sanctifying us, right? Changing us so that we believe those things maybe imperfectly to a varying degree and less imperfectly as we become more like Christ, at least the true things, the good things. So I pushed into that, or from that into the topic of really God's sovereignty and his rule and reign. And hopefully you guys remember that discussion. I talked about the reality that there's a real kingdom and a real king who's really reigning, and we see that all over the Old and New Testament. Something I didn't do a great job of last week was actually founding that on a bunch of scripture, and so I just want to read some scripture here so that we will think about who is this God. Psalm 115, verse 3, and actually it's also in Psalm 135, 6. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Some of you guys are like thinking through a song. I know Shailin helped us out with that a little bit. Daniel 4:35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? Job 42:2. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted, can be stopped or overwhelmed. Psalm 45:6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. So the rule of your kingdom. So it might be familiar. Isaiah 6:1, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Right, just the majesty and the kingness of God. Acts 7:49, and also it's actually referencing Isaiah 66:1, says, heaven, this is God speaking, heaven is my throne, and earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what kind of place is there for my rest? Or Romans 9:19-21, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the maker, why did you make me like this? Will it? Or does not the potter have the right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? Revelation 19:6. And then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. So from the Old Testament all the way through, just over and over again, we just see this resounding picture of the ultimate and continual reign of God over all things, heaven and earth. Nothing can overcome what he desires and what he wills, and nothing can overcome him. And then we also see throughout the Gospels a picture, really, as Jesus comes, he's talking about bringing the kingdom in, right, and inaugurating, right, the coming of that kingdom, which will be then finally consummated or brought to completion when he returns. We see in Scripture God reigns, and he does it presently, wholly, and completely, right? He's not weak and waiting to reign someday, right? I mean, it's an actual, real reign now. He's not putting the pieces in place to stage a coup, right? It's not that the prince of the power of the air has rule here and God has to submit to that here until he comes back, right? That's not the case. God reigns over all things now. He reigns entirely, utterly. There's no pretender who can stand against him. And it's true, not just in the future, not just one day, but now. And grasping that, I think I said last week, it should change our life. As we see that, as we're brought back to the reality of God's sovereignty, right? I said there's no square, no cranny of the universe, no group, no individual over which God does not currently and rightly declare mine. Yet, right, I didn't stress this enough last week when we were together, there's a real sense which the kingdom, while it's very real now, it's also not yet. Right? It's a not yet kingdom. It will come to fullness when Christ returns. Our struggle as Christians often is to distinguish the kingdom and his reign now because we don't really see it in its fullness, right? It's not yet fully. It will come fully, but it's not yet there. And so we just have a perception that's kind of messed up by a lot of things in our world and in our own heart and in our life. We see the kingdom and his reign in bursts, sporadically, kind of in certain places and people as, we see it as people are saved, right? We saw that as God started working in Chris's life last year, right? And then we get to celebrate that together in his baptism, and we get to see that as we live life together inside of the church. We see spurts of that, right? Imperfectly, church people mess up too, right? We imperfectly represent the kingdom inside these walls and outside of these walls. So it's sporadic in bursts. Sometimes it's visible, part of it's visible, and only certain times it seems like it's clouded at times and it's more veiled and challenging to see. But what then does it look like for us as the church to be like Jesus, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, right? Not fully, in the ways we can hear leading up to and pointing to the ultimate coming, the not yet of the kingdom when Christ returns. And Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. In heaven, God's kingdom is, among many other things, constant and clear and strong and complete and unhidden and entire and accessible and visible and powerful, and all that will one day be among us when Jesus leads it in. Right? All of that will be present and visible when Jesus leads it in. But there's an important sense, the kingdom is not yet, but it's also now. That's what we want to, I think about. That has to be the impact, or that has to impact our mission now, right, in some critical ways. The question is how, and I think that the answer biblically is the church. And that's a really vague answer, a really broad answer. So I want to be clear as I say that, though. God's mission is the church, right? It's that God would rule in Christ over those who submit to Christ's rule, that those who submit to his rule are kingdom people. God's mission is the establishment and the building up of the church, those who follow him. So while non-church things might be mission-focused, missional, we need to understand that we can't just secularize the kingdom into good things, right? Good things that we do that show beauty of the kingdom and good things about the kingdom, but it's not, we can't secularize the kingdom as some kind of social justice plea or something like that. I think we see that happening in churches and church plants in particular, maybe today. You might say the skinny jean crowd, right? Who are very social minded, very reconciliation minded, very racial reconciliation minded. And these are all important kingdom things. So I want to be clear that those are kingdom things as they are pointed to Christ. But in themselves, they're not kingdom things, right? Reconciliation is beautiful, but it really is only truly beautiful as it points to the kingdom, right? To something ultimate and true in Christ. Racial reconciliation is a beautiful thing, but it's only really beautiful when we see it as a picture of, you know, Revelation, as we're seeing a throng of people from every nation, every tribe together worshiping Christ. So it's as we get a foretaste of the coming kingdom that we realize, like, racial reconciliation is a picture of what God's doing, ultimately bringing people to him under his banner and out of their own self-governed, self-ruled lives. And so we can say social justice and racial reconciliation and feeding the poor and the hungry and providing for their needs, these are all good things. But if they're separated from gospel, it's not kingdom, right? It's not kingdom-related stuff. It's just stuff. So that's important, right? God's mission is the church, right? The kingdom mission, by its very nature, is connected to and flowing from the church. The church is the visible outpost of the kingdom, right? It's the embassy announcing the kingdom is real and it's coming here. So part of the figuring out what it means is clearly that people would be saved into the kingdom, right? That's a big part of it. That they'd be grafted into the place where the kingdom is most visible, into the church. So in this way, the church provides a witness to the world of a new worship, a new law, a new king, a new social order, a new peace, a new justice, a new economics, a new way of life. So I'm going to stop, and I'm just going to ask you guys, do you have questions or thoughts about that? Because this is big stuff. Any thoughts? Do you see people inside of the church embracing an idea of social justice and reconciliation and all these different things and chasing after them, but chasing after them without the gospel? I think we can see that. And I'm not pointing fingers at anyone in particular. I'm just saying, especially maybe in the millennial crowd and younger, looking for a cause, a mission, something to give their life to that's bigger than them. And so this is a deceit, right? This is a really big lie from the enemy that these things in themselves can be that mission, that social justice can be that mission, that feeding the hungry can be that mission, that going and caring for orphans can be that mission. If we separate it from the gospel, it is not kingdom work. And so as we define kingdom mission, that has to be foremost and in the forefront of everything we think about and do. I think this view of the church in kingdom mission, this view that I'm talking about, stands in opposition to much of our culture. But it also stands in opposition to a lot of the church who seeks to bring cultural transformation, right? When our culture is going crazy, seeks to bring cultural transformation through political means, through the political process. Right? We see a lot of that right now, pushing political candidates and getting crazy about political things as if some political candidate, whether they've been passed up or whether they're on the ballot or not, right? It doesn't matter whether they are the answer to our spiritual issues or not, right? It seems like the church around election time loses its mind on this. And so Christian organizations working through political means, we have to understand that they will not bring kingdom transformation to our world. Neither will social justice or reconciliation or good deeds or psychology. None of that is going to bring kingdom transformation. The church is God's ordained means to bring gospel kingdom transformation to our culture and our world. Period. The church. So that impacts the way and the means by which we go about seeking kingdom mission and doing kingdom mission and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God to our neighbors, right? Question, what are some things that we do as churches that you would see as kingdom-seeking, kingdom-displaying efforts? So not just Redeemer, but what are things that churches do, church people do, that are kingdom-seeking, kingdom-displaying efforts? Anything? Church or church people, yeah.
Are you talking about things like Vacation Bible School? Like
could be. Yeah. It definitely could be something that, yeah.
I think any of those things that you listed earlier that are done with the correct intention could be those.
Right, yeah. I'm sorry, I just joked on coffee. Yeah, so certainly.
Care, reaching your neighbors, all of that stuff when done with the right mindset and done not inward focus, but focused for taking the gospel to those things and not just as a good deed.
So traditional churches, aside from, So aside from going to other people's communities, so mission trips, inside of our own communities, kingdom efforts oftentimes look like something that we try to do inside the walls of the church, right? What's that? So like a program, right? And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a wrong thing to do, but I'm saying that it seems like we've focused most as established churches on we have a building, we have a place to come, and so we're going to invite other people into this thing here to do kingdom work. And the things we do here inside these walls are kingdom work things. And then we do other kingdom things, but we go to other places to do it. And we don't see the kingdom work inside of our own communities a lot of times, stepping outside the walls of the established traditional church building, and we say, come here and we'll do kingdom things here, but we're not pushing it into our neighborhoods and into our workplaces and into our streets. Does that make sense? Do you guys agree with that statement? Okay. There's a way to visualize this, I think. The church and its activities can fit into the kingdom, right? So all those things we do inside the church, VBS and, programs, there are various different programs, counseling programs and different things. We can do those things inside the church. Yeah, I mean, it happens there, Awanas, and those are kingdom efforts. They should be, they better be, inside the church, and those can fit inside of the kingdom. But the kingdom, you can't squeeze the kingdom inside the walls of the church, right? It's too big. It's too impactful. It's too powerful. So then the question is, and this is a question I want us to wrestle with as a church, what is ministry? How do we know that what we're doing is ministry? Is it only things we do inside the church, like ushers and greeters and nursery workers and church plant setup team, preaching, right? Is that ministry, or is that the only way? Are those the only ministers, right? What is ministry? How would you define that? Is it more than that?
I think
Yeah. So how do we say, so what other things might be ministry? Sorry, I'm trying to think of how we can move this into practical discussion. So what other things could be or are ministry? Okay, small groups, right? And in our particular setting, those don't happen inside of the church, right? Those happen in a home away from, it's not on a Sunday night, it's not necessarily on a Wednesday night, it's in a community setting, okay? Yeah, I think that's a good one. So I'm looking for real practical statement. So like I'm looking for things, not just like overarching. Yeah. Yeah, what are some examples of ministry, I should say? Yeah, what are some examples? Yeah. Yeah. Now that could be something that we did that wouldn't have been ministry. Right? What makes that, what makes it ministry and not just like a good thing we do in the community? Yeah. We're pushing in to have kind of gospel conversations. Building relationship, I think, is part of this too. Relationships that are gospel-centered, that aren't just superficial. I want to be your friend so that I can get you saved, but it's actually like I care about you. I love you as my neighbor. I want what's good for you, and ultimately I know what's good for you is Christ. So, right, so it's, I think it's helpful to say yes, but that can quickly, if we're not intentional, we can call that ministry, right, and just go and help people set up some booths and stuff and be visible in the community, but it's not actually ministry. It's just something we're doing. The difference is, right, there's gospel involved. Okay, so what are some other examples? So good. You kids can answer too, young ladies, if you have thoughts. What about, oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. There may not have been a whole lot of spreading the gospel of other people that were there. But, you know, if we were there and intentionally, you know, picked out three people, just asking people.
Yeah, I think even having intentional conversations that sometimes ministry is not just what we're doing to reach outside lost people, right? Sometimes ministry is just two guys getting together and encouraging each other in Christ, right? And growing together in Christ. We're ministering to each other as we engage with each other about gospel things and life things. So ministry is, you know, I want to try to kind of unbox ministry a little bit because we try to fit it into these little categories. So what about work? Can work become ministry?
Like physical labor work?
Like the job you do, can it become ministry?
Sure.
Okay, how? Yeah, no, good. I love that you said, well, sure, like, of course it can. Okay.
So you're kind of wanting to know what that looks like, I guess.
Yeah, well, what has to change to make it go from it's the job I do to it's a ministry that
or that you get to bring
Yeah. Yeah, I want to be cautious there. I agree with you. So I agree.
Can't stop there.
So for the sake of recording, I want to just say that, so yes, our actions and sometimes relationship has to be built before we can have effectual gospel, like deep gospel conversations, even sharing the whole gospel. But I think that, and some of this ties in some with, you know, as Tammy was talking, last week I said, we've got to move away from the idea that the church has kind of embraced over the last while that I can have a 2-minute conversation with someone where I just kind of gospel dump on them with like all of this and then call them to make a decision. And then if they just reject us and walk away, then it's like, okay, I did what I'm responsible to do. Reality is that for many people, certainly God can use that, and he has used that. But just because God uses people preaching Christ for selfish gain doesn't mean that in other situations, that doesn't mean that that's the right thing to do. Right? So I just want to be careful there. The reality is that as we live life with people, right? I mean, as I have conversations with my neighbor Bill, right? I mean, super guy. And I'm just going to have conversations with him, and not every one of those conversations, and not maybe even most of those conversations are going to be me unfolding 4 spiritual laws, right? I'm not going to be unpacking God, man, Christ response in those conversations every time. But the tenor of our conversations are going to be, hopefully, they should be rightly leading to other things and asking questions and being part of the, like, concerned about them. And that happens more with the people that we work with, probably, more than the like a customer who comes to us, right? And I know, I'm thinking particularly, Tammy, about your situation. So it's harder to have that conversation as anything more than just a real surface conversation, at least in the office. But when you see that person out on the street and you have a relationship with them from the office, then that's a different thing, right? Which, again, is harder because you work over the river. But the person that you work in the office with, or you work and you weld with, the guy that you have a relationship with because you spend time with them, like, that's a little different situation, right? Too often, and I think this is how we live our life. We live life for the short effect, immediate gratification of our efforts. I mean, we're in it for the short game. And the reality is that, like for most of us, this is a gradual process that God does in our heart of chipping away. Not the actual change of our heart, but of the barriers going down and us listening to someone and actually hearing the gospel. That has to happen as those things are ripped away. Now, certainly, again, sometimes God works quickly in that process, but often it is not so quick. Okay, so all of that from what is ministry, it's more than just what we put in a box, though, I guess is where I want to go with that. I want to just remind us that ministry is not someone that we look to somebody else, something that we look for somebody else to do in an official capacity. It's not even necessarily just official things. In fact, most of ministry is that life-to-life reaction and relationship that goes on in our neighborhood and in our work and at the grocery store and other places. That's where most of our interaction with people happens. And so that's where, if we're intentional and if we move past just surface stuff, we can have real ministry impact in lives. I think that's gospel ministry, kingdom life. We've got to see that the gospel is not primarily about the life to come, right? That's been part of what we talked about last week, but it's true. It needs to involve all of life now. I mean, it is more than just I'm saved into eternal life. It's not just something that we offer to unbelievers. We need the gospel every single day to permeate our life, to inform us and guide everything we do. We need to see the gospel in terms of kingdom life. Life with God and in God, both now and for eternity. Right? In God and with God, now and forever. So is discipleship, right? This is, I'm not asking this open, I mean, you can respond if you want, but right, do we see discipleship primarily as a means by which we get closer to God and achieve spiritual maturity? Or, right, is it only about this vertical growth situation? Is that what discipleship is? Because I think I've seen it that way in the past. I've seen, I need to have discipleship because I just need to grow in my relationship with God and become spiritually mature. That's true. I need that. And discipleship is a big part of that. But do we also see it as a call to lose our lives for Christ's sake and participate in the mission that he has been doing since before the foundation of the world, whatever the cost to us, right? It's not just vertical, but it also has horizontal implications in everything we do. So discipleship is not just growing my relationship with God, but it's also affecting everything horizontally, my work relationships, my family relationships, my marriage, my parenting, my neighboring, all of it, right? Discipleship is a bigger process that God is doing and working in us. And we need God to do those changes in us, to shift those perspectives and perceptions about what gospel life is, what kingdom life is, inside of the church first. Right? We need that to happen as we live inside of the church with one another and to stir us up to see it rightly. And that's kind of, I guess, my aim with this. Man, I have so much more to say and it's already time. I'll say this. I really am confident that as the church is faithful to fulfill the Great Commission, that as we make disciples, as we make known the whole counsel of God, that as faithful followers, we will be equipped to serve the Lord wherever, right, anywhere, everywhere that we are. Because where we are at any moment is the mission field that God has placed us in. You realize that? Right. Where we are at any given moment is the mission field that God has sent you to right now. Whether that's in Haiti, right? And you find yourself in Haiti one day, and that's my mission field. It's way easier sometimes when we're other places to realize that this is my mission field and to be intentional about it. But when I'm at the office on Monday morning, right? When I'm in the backyard mowing my grass and my neighbor catches my attention, right? When I'm at the grocery store and someone says hi, right? Right where I am, wherever I am, that is the place where God has, in his sovereignty, placed me that day and has given me an opportunity to serve as a witness to the kingdom, right, to gospel realities in the world, to point people to him. So I'm praying that's what God stirs in us. Man, I want to say so much more. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray that you would give me clarity as I try to lead through this. It's a huge topic. It impacts every area of our life. I don't want to just talk at people about this. I don't want to just think about this, God. I want it to change us, and I want it to help us to live our life differently wherever we're at. And so, God, I ask that you would do that. Only your spirit can work that in us, so I pray that you would just work. Pray that you be glorified this day. Amen.